Okay, welcome to the February 15th, 2017 FSM Public Review Committee meeting. I, Bill Fissell, and...
Chris Myers.
Chris Glassmoyer.
Jim Kirk.
Pete Lazarvich.
Joan Chulis.
Kevin Murray.
Our members of one or more affected groups and our respective declarations of interest are on file in the minutes of the PRC. So we're ready. Should we do any public comment? Okay. Should we do the administrative items before Ryan gets here?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything?
Just that the Tree Canopy Work Group meeting is next Wednesday, February 22nd, from 3 to 5 in this room. And the representatives from the PRC are Drew Thomas and Michael Garretti, but all members are welcome to sit in and listen to the discussion if you'd like to. Ryan Reed is going to be facilitating that meeting. John Zucker, the county urban forester, will be there.
Okay.
So they're going to come and cover that. And that, we're supposed to report back to the full committee at the first meeting in March.
Okay, great. I have two items that I mentioned to Laura that I should have added on here yesterday. I was asked or told that there may be a presentation or additional items that the fire marshal wanted to present to this committee. And I think some people I've heard that they're starting to get comments on site plans and plans and profiles from the fire marshal that aren't consistent with the FSM and that type of thing. And not that I want to push that, but if it's being enforced or trying to be enforced, that's something we should be discussing.
And where are the comments coming from? Fire marshal's office?
I can add to that as well. Our experience there is not just a comment stage, but bond release. We're being asked actually in some cases to completely sign, stripe VDOT roads for fire lanes, public roads, for fire lanes that were, you know, clearly shown to not be to meet VDOT standards. So we're seeing some of the same issues.
So you got to paint the curbs yellow?
They want us to paint the curbs yellow on roads that were designed to VDOT standards 5 years ago, and now we're trying to get off bond. We've got emergency services personnel coming out and tell us to paint curbs yellow, where they won't, or they won't process bond release paperwork.
Yeah, and we dealt with that years ago with VDOT. Yeah.
And we're having the same problem with reference to painting the curbs and separators. So it's all stuff we've done before, but there's a change in personnel apparently, and we're back.
So if you can,
I will follow on that. I heard some changes.
And there's some bearded guy who just walked in, sat down here.
Welcome,
Michael.
And just I'll add in on that too. We just had a street that went in for street acceptance. We did the same thing with signage on an approved VDOT signage plan versus what the fire marshal wanted to see.
And that was a bond release or during the review?
It was, that was basically we were trying to get a street accepted, and we had the county inspect and we had VDOT inspect, and we complied with the VDOT signage and striping plan, but the county inspection, the fire marshal, didn't like the signage that we had put up.
And to give Laura any, does anybody know where it's coming from? All I heard was there has been a new person that is in assistant fire marshal's position or something of that sort that has these, say, head issues.
Yeah. I guess my understanding was there was a gentleman that had retired and somebody is now there. Now several folks filling that role is my understanding. Same got personnel change.
Yes. I don't know if it's Leroy retired.
I believe Leroy retired. Yeah.
Leroy retired. We dealt with the same guy on a project in Personville and had to do the rounds to get through.
So what Mike Siegfried mentioned to us, it's now.
When do you want this back? I know March 1st, we're going to be talking trees if all goes well at the committee, I mean, at the worker meeting. Is this something exciting meeting in March?
Well, why don't I ask Mike, I mean, if someone's going to present or is this being discussed internally, what it is, I mean, this is important.
And really, I
would argue it shouldn't even be coming to us. We have the FSM, we have UDOT standards, and that's exactly, when we met with Chief Brower in the past, we came to a complete understanding that when they needed something different, he would come, but we had this process to go through, and it was unilaterally, we were doing something contrary to the FSM, and so that feels like something that staff should be talking to staff about and reeling in. And if there is something that that group feels is needed to be changed, then in our relationship with Chief Brower always was to bring things in and say, yep, you know, I need to readdress this. We have this issue with the turning radius or width to get past all these things. But not the new county comment way. So
that happens, though. We know that happens.
It does, but
it, change it, your personnel, it, that can happen.
It does.
It's just a misunderstanding.
But it's...
I don't know if it's happening, but I see that happen.
And that's what I'm saying. Just maybe Mike wants to
take
control and become a non-issue.
And that's why you check with Mike. I agree with Joe that you know, it's maybe being worked on internally, and we just don't know about it.
Okay. I will do that before I
next meeting. So are we raising new issues right now?
We were just going over administrative items. And I just had one more. It had to do with floodplain mapping. We're finding that we're being asked to do floodplain studies on major floodplains. And I was under the impression that the majority of major floodplains were mapped by Baker.
Right.
And apparently they had not been. And I don't know if we need a map showing which ones have been mapped, which ones have not. But you know, they sat right here and told us that.
Yeah, we were going to be able to use their data.
Their data, their limits, everything.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, if they didn't do a study, let's identify where they didn't do a study. So we can see the whole industry knows where that
That's
is.
That's my understanding. Ryan, you please chime in if you have knowledge of this as well.
I mean, I've sat in these meetings and these discussions are over my head, so I can't answer.
So you fell asleep?
So we'll find out more, but it is my understanding that not Baker did do some floodplain studies, but did not study all the major floodplains. You still have areas that you would need to do studies.
And how do you, but how do you draw the lines on the plan if you don't, if you hadn't studied the floodplain?
Yeah,
I mean, that's why.
Yeah, we need that question because we were under the impression, at least I was, and maybe I was naive about it, that the limits reflected of studies that they did.
I think that the terminology is that they modeled the floodplain using a regression equation. So it's a modeled boundary versus a studied boundary.
Hydraulic.
Right, and then they ran it.
You still have to do cross sections in order to get a surface level.
They may not have done
because they used topo.
But it was good enough for FEMA.
Yeah, right.
And
it's not good enough for us.
Yeah, but not good enough for us.
What would you like to do with this? Do you want another like quarterly update? Bill Kane, our floodplain measure, was last year in November, and I think we owe you a follow-up on some items from that. Do you want this March? Let's see what we got. We got 2 meetings in March. The March 1 and March 15. March 1 is supposed to be trees pursuant to the workgroup meeting.
Well, I think it would be good because the map will be formally adopted. You know.
And it was formally adopted effective February 16th, I think they did it. I know we all heard 17th. February 16th.
The day before the deadline.
The day before the deadline, so.
So it would be good, I think. Now it's adopted. How are we to use that?
Yeah. Yeah, because it appears to be different than what we thought.
I will ask the commissioner if you can come March
3. So this is, you're asked to study it even if you're not impacting it?
Yep. Yep. Well, and but the fact we're next to major floodplain, so well, why don't we just use what you just adopted?
Right.
And they go, oh, no, you have to study it. We're like, well, why do we have to study it? This is a major floodplain. It's FEMA adopted floodplain. Well, no, you have to use the hydrology and regression formula, but we want you to rerun the model. And then we argued out of it that we weren't anywhere near it anyway. There are two different issues. There are two different But that's a different issue, whether you're near it or not. Yeah. This is that we're being asked to run the line.
This is just a major floodplain you're dealing with, not minor.
This is what my concern is. I understand minor, they probably didn't study any of that. I think they just assume a depth and mapped it on. I don't know, but it'd be nice to know how they did it, how they did determine the floodplain limits, because they didn't.
Shouldn't it be if we want to honor them, we're good and we shouldn't have to do anything, but if we want to change them, we could do a study to prove they're wrong? Shouldn't it be that simple?
That's how we discussed it.
Right.
Yeah. Because a lot of times they were fairly conservative, especially the minor floodplains. You can use them or study them. Okay. Did you have?
Yeah, I'm hearing about this stormwater management agreement that's holding up bond release. Have you heard anything about that?
That came up Tuesday at the BDAG meeting.
Okay. So is that an FSM issue?
It's an internal issue, process issue, that's being worked on within the county.
Okay.
And that's what we were told Tuesday morning.
Okay, so this is not the appropriate place to talk about it, or it is?
It may be, but I think the county asked for time to figure out their internal processes first.
Because it was a committee, whatever, 2 years ago that Larkin and I sat on that dealt with all these filters and everything and the agreement and all that. And I'm wondering if that committee just doesn't need to get back together.
There is a group meeting, and with the county folks, a group from NVBIA.
Oh, there is. So I should talk to Doug.
Yeah. Okay. But the county did ask that they had time to. They recognized that there was an internal processing issue. Okay, steep slope amendments.
Okay, guys, I think we're winding down. Brian, can you join us?
I am on my way.
Yes, it's the 8-1-11. That was the one that has steep slopes. I sent you all the draft of chapter 8 update for the last meeting, but then I was fortunate to have opportunity to meet Brian and Jason this morning.
Jason, where are you?
Well, you say, well,
it's kind of creepy.
Michael says something here.
Well, it's kind of creepy, but that does happen.
Yeah. Jason said he wanted to get a mirror, but we're taking it out.
There it goes. All right, so we had gotten through some of this last time, but we had left it that staff needed to work on the language in 8-1-11. Because the way A is worded is it's items that are required as part of the application. So like critics, plans, wetlands data. And then it switched to floodplain data and steep slopes data and what you show on the plan as opposed to like accompanying your submission. So we needed to break out of the to say following items shall be shown on the grading plan and emergency control plan. So it's clear that the floodplain information so that's the change we made to try to clarify that discrepancy. And then you'll notice under steep slopes data, I think this used to say very steep slope areas, marked steep slope areas, as defined and regulated in the zoning ordinance, on the grading plan and erosion subcontrol plan, but we didn't need that anymore because
that's what it's on.
The header B. So really minor changes, but just want to show you the cleanup.
Questions?
Why'd you strike it not for recreation? On the last one. Oh, I'm sorry. You're here now?
I hope we're not recording today.
I will explain that. That's the
human.
This is just 8-1-11. Lot that wasn't in a subdivision, and there's no CPAP to compare to. just found that was important to say. Avoid confusion. That overlap, that these individual lot grading plans only apply if I'm in a subdivision. They apply everywhere. So that's that one. And then there were no changes in April 13. And then jump to April 14. We talked about this one quite a bit last time. Jason asked that I delete the word residential here. The idea being that the way this text is written is if you have a site plan or a sketch plan, you wouldn't need to do a plot plan, okay? So the thought, I think, was everything that doesn't have a sketch plan or a site plan is residential. But there could be some commercial plans that don't necessarily require a site plan or a sketch plan and should be subject to a plot plan where you check setbacks and things like that.
I think if it's commercial, they shouldn't have to do anything. They should just be able to go build it, right? It's commercial.
Well, what's section 6? What's your reference section 6-1000?
And we look. I can pull those up. That's what we did today. We looked at 6-1000 and 6-700. So I, if you like, that's what we did this morning. 6-700, 6-1000. Let me show you those really quick. What we did. For zoning permit.
And this is reference to for just residential or anything?
Anything. So we were kind of curious, why did we put the word residential in FSM? I think sketch plan came in when we went to site plan. 6-700 talks about sketch plans under site plans.
What does it say?
It is your application for your zoning permit.
What's the thing? What's under? What section is this under?
Oh, I'm sorry. Zoning permits.
Zoning permits.
This is sort of where that, and it did. That's not just a good job because it references you back to the right sections of the zoning ordinance. But we were trying to figure out why did we have the word residential? And I think the assumption, to be honest with you, I talked to Nancy Warfield, who was at our meeting last week, who's the staff person who does this. And I think the assumption is, well, it's commercial without site plan or sketch plan. Yeah. So this would only be for residential, because all commercial is a site plan or sketch plan. But that's not the case, necessarily. It could potentially be something that doesn't require a site plan. There might be a loophole here.
Like
oh,
what?
Eric, what do you got?
Just because our counter gets a lot of these questions and then we send them over to permits. I mean, I can tell you that we regularly talk to people that are opening, you know, some sort of religious facility or something in an old house along Evergreen Mills Road where it's, you know, it might still be zoned residential. There's a lot of commercial uses allowed in residential. And if they're just using the existing old building, Or maybe they've been there for years and years and never did a site plan and they're just adding a little storage space on the side of it. There have sometimes been ways around doing a full-blown site plan when they're just using the old residential house as the use with no changes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what terminology they're using, but things like that do happen and that would be in the commercial realm. on the other side, what Laura was looking at a second ago, again, I think the terminology upstairs for permitting is just sort of used interchangeably, but you know, if you're building a shed, you've got to bring something in for zoning that shows the property with the shed, with the certain dimensions drawn in. And a lot of times they'll take stuff that's hand-drawn for residential stuff. But I think that is the specific section that requires that be provided. Again, terminology, I think, is used a little interchangeably.
And I think that was Jason's concerns, not with the specific examples, but his concerns when we went over that section.
How do they do it today?
What is there a definition
for sketch plan? Maybe we just don't know about that. Is that the idea?
That's the concern I've got is, what are they doing today? Not reacting to a problem with the process.
Laura,
is there
a definition for sketch plan? Or do we, I mean, I don't know what a sketch plan is. Does it say somewhere? Because as a practical matter, I can tell you almost for sure what they do today. They won't approve a zoning permit without something showing what's proposed.
Right.
So if there's not a site plan or not a requirement to do a site plan, they're going to say, here, sketch this out, draw, take the, you know,
right.
They're going to send them to my counter and we're going to print out a map or an aerial photo or something. And they're going to say, draw in what you're doing and put accurate dimensions from the property lines, which is exactly what they do for residential, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does help those people. To clarify, it would be basically a problem.
Well, it does, but now it sends them to our office to have to have completed that they were doing on the back. back of a napkin to fill it or whatever. So we're creating process.
I mean, there's surface. This is written for residential. When you read certain aspects of it, this subdivision section, phase number, block number, lot number, that has nothing to do with commercial. The distance, you know, at stairs, chimneys, decks, bay windows, it doesn't lend itself to commercial.
Do you want us to go research this some more?
Because the question might be whether you take the sketch plan and add to some or like uses or similar uses so that then the counter can say, well, just do a sketch plan as opposed to...
As a practical matter, they just tell them to go do something. I don't think anybody up there is using the terms block plan or sketch plan.
And how often does this happen?
20 times a day.
For commercial uses?
Oh, for commercial uses, I don't know. Nancy would be a better person to answer that. Relatively regularly, just because we nowadays have so many commercial uses, you know, not necessarily somebody running a contractor out of an old house, but residential uses, rural economy uses, all these other kinds of things now that are permitted all over the county in all of these generally considered residential zoning districts.
Joe's right, the thing is a ghost that we're worried about, but the reality is the application of the zoning ordinance determines whether you're completing a sketch plan or a plot plan, not the FSM. It's, I'm just saying, here's what a plot plan is. When it's required is determined by the zoning.
Yeah, I think we were struggling. Why did we see residential, the term residential in here, based on what we read in the zoning ordinance? Doesn't say site plan or residential plot plan. So we were like, oh, why did we do that descriptor?
And we were answering one specific need, which was for residential, how do you do a plot plan? Because staff was not doing what they do if it's adding on a barn or whatever, I mean, or whatever commercial uses. They were specifically wanted this, and I think it was Nancy wanted these specific things. And so I guess my solution is leave the word residential in there because I understand where Jason comes from and this is the way he thinks, but we are not reacting to a process or anything need anywhere. We're reacting to a wordsmithing kind of reaction that is one of the words in there, just take it out and then the process works and they're not reacting to the process wrong.
And is the concern, I'm going to try to meet the ghost, okay? Is the concern that we are making the process more cumbersome than what we physically do today?
Yes.
Our fear is that we may be. Yeah. But, I mean, this is the first we've seen this. Recognizing the zoning ordinance requires a plot plan for commercial. I think what we're hearing is this may not be the correct way of doing it for commercial. It may be much less. It may be perfectly fine, but we're sitting here and seeing this for the first time.
Yeah.
We'll
look forward to that.
That's
not a steep slope
amendment. All right. Yeah, we haven't gotten the steep slope part.
We're almost done. But
let's not change it related to the steep slopes, because there's nothing to do with steep slopes.
Okay, so somehow I have to put it out here so that I don't think this is done. I'll just put a new comment.
So the FSM committee is not in a position to agree to this at this time. You might want to put it up, not related to steep slopes. This item is not related to steep slopes.
I took them out. I just went straight for current proposal. documents their company plot plans. This is the Steve Slope's text we have elsewhere. But we talked about the fact that at this point in the process, it's not a proposed parcel of land. You already have your lot created. It wouldn't apply to a road, so a strip road, and we wouldn't need to say, talk about recordation, because nobody's planning on recording a plot plan. So it's the same language we see elsewhere for locational clearance for steep slopes. A couple amendments.
You say residential.
He's not here to defend himself. He probably has really good reasons for this. I'm not explaining it well. Commercial would be way different. Ryan has a whole different list. Poor Ryan. I'm just kidding. It would be the same. So, if you're okay with 8, what is that? 114B1?
Is that last sentence in all of those other paragraphs that says such information shall satisfy the local?
It is.
Should be, yeah.
It's got that in all of them. Just to clarify.
And we don't have a separate submittal.
Not anymore. This would be right. Good. Are we done with steep slopes?
No, I'm going to ask my question again. Oh. I don't understand why you struck the not for recordation if a plot plan's not for recordation anyway. Why can't this be?
It could. I think last time there was some discussion that was applicable for when we do preliminary record plats, and you just did this as like an exhibit. That's where the
not-for-recordation. Oh, you just copied the same language.
I cut and paste,
and
yeah.
It doesn't
so,
apply.
You know how each time we went through, we kind of finessed language per the section?
Right, but I think with that not-for-recordation, it really clarifies for informational purposes.
Right.
It's really meant.
It will never be something that gets recorded.
It's for information. It's not
right. I don't think we mind. Do you mind leaving that in?
I don't mind anything at this point.
I think it works again.
If you would rather leave it in, I think.
Well,
right.
Let's go back to the changes we made
right.
A month ago.
I mean, you guys talked about
that.
Did we take
it out anywhere else?
We did take it out.
It was another great permit. Too many times talking about things that we want to make sure are not recorded. And if this is not recorded anyway, I don't understand. It doesn't seem to us.
Usually we have that language in where it's additional information to a plat. So, because the plat gets recorded, but the additional information does not.
Again, if you guys are okay with it, I am too.
I have to look under.
We have it for zoning permit applications. We have that in. We kept it in. Zoning permits don't get
it.
For
recordation in the original reference that we keep cross-referencing, if you guys remember how we set this up, we did it under, I'm scrolling up just to make sure, but I think we did it under 8103. So the broader section, all the other requests, that's been under.
It is a zoning ordinance type thing.
I agree. Leave it in.
I think we leave it in.
All
right. Are we voting?
Yes,
leave it in. Okay.
Good. Doesn't make any difference.
Can I leave it in? Do you leave it in?
Yeah. The stranger over there.
You can never leave.
Change it up.
changes, but don't strike.
We'll play the timer down.
Okay, next item.
Yeah, remember, we're through steep slopes, so that other conversation is not.
I can share these with Jason after.
He heard.
He did? All right. Okay. Can we do one thing with the agenda?
Are you done?
He's here for a couple more minutes.
Yes.
And this chair is more comfortable than that one.
We're supposed to go to MSF procedures next, but I'm wondering if it would be possible to go to our D4 land surveyor guidance while Ryan's here.
Sure.
We have Ryan before, and I was hoping to look at this.
No, we're really great.
So the D4 guidance is the handout that is from all the Virginia at the top of it. And what I would propose that we do is that we look at the current FSM and we search the term professional engineer, and then we talk about if we need to add surveyor to address this. All right, so I'm just going to go to the current adopted FSM in a PDF file.
This is going to be painful.
It's not as bad as you think.
Okay, you've done this.
I've previewed this. I'm going to put you through this kind of thing. Professional engineer. I don't think these are
professional engineers. Okay.
We've got about 12 references, but what I wanted, while Ryan was here, I wanted to show you a lot of them come in soils in chapter 6. Like you might remember this storm, silage infiltration. We need a licensed PE or these other.
And I'm not reading that a land surveyor can do that.
I'm just confirming, and we had all agreed that that was not appropriate in all this section, so I'm just going through so you all know where we did the survey.
Right.
Ryan, did the surveyor go get that soil or pathology class?
I've never seen a surveyor that's got the background education for that.
You know, probably be a surveyor.
Right. They'd be a geologist, professional wetlands liaison, or something like that. They'd have some background.
This doesn't address any of that. Right.
Well, we had talked about this at length, but I just wanted Ryan to go to the discussion because there's quite a few of these.
I would assume that if a surveyor came in who had passed the soil, whatever, morphology class, you would accept them.
If they've gone to that class?
Yeah.
Yeah. If they've passed that class, that's a. Yeah.
We need to state it that way. I think it's fine the way forward, but obviously, it came in with that.
Well, it doesn't say that now, though.
The design of the BMP can be done by the surveyor. It's just
absolutely. That's got nothing to do with the design.
The groundwater. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. If you choose that option.
You can be any discipline. You can be an arborist and have completed this. Class. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't like that, right?
No.
Well, what you're saying,
but because you could be anything.
You could be
a class.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Not. We don't mean it in a disparaging way.
No.
We just
I'm
mean it in a should we add it way. I don't know that anybody could pass that class.
Right. I've taught that class.
I'm not saying
they don't have some background knowledge to it, you're not going to be pretty lost.
Is anybody allowed to take it? I mean, in other words, are there...
I don't think that question's ever even been asked. It's only been engineers.
It's not that much
interesting. Personal fulfillment.
Y'all remember talking about this, though, when we did these changes.
But I'm just, I've never had anybody that's not an engineer in that
or
class.
Or it says where equivalent is determined by the director.
Yes,
there's that.
Yeah.
This was in Chapter 5. This was under water quality. Okay, this is floodplains. And the floodplain administrator, we are under alterations, and the administrator can determine that alterations aren't required, but they need a certification from the license PE or survey. Yes, really quick, one quick question. Do you have a license for your professional engineer? Sometimes we have license, sometimes we don't. I think we want license because this is a newer text that we just adopted. I think the preference would be for you to go back and add licensed, at least all the way through Chapter 8, unless you don't have.
I don't know even what it means. If you're a professional engineer, you're licensed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know about surveyors.
You can't be a professional engineer without being
licensed.
But I don't know, can you call yourself a surveyor if you're not licensed?
I call people
out as
surveyors if they're not licensed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that because they think they're surveyors?
They're not in your shop.
You call them engineers, not professional engineers.
Yeah.
Is that because you want to bill them at a lower rate?
I think based on previous discussions,
we would
put a license, but.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't
hurt. All right.
That's one of those we could argue about for an hour, right?
Yeah, well, we could.
I think we have. I feel like we've had that conversation.
Ryan's excited about that.
Another hour.
Big one, yeah.
Here's PSRs, and we're talking about the licensed professional engineer, and we don't have the survey.
Nope.
We know
this. This right.
Soils map and report. Again, which license
professional
engineer.
This is your soils map.
The report that you did.
Right.
There was a
talk about soils mapping in here.
PSR report.
I don't want to advertise
yeah.
for that.
I wouldn't ask for that.
Yeah. If you're a Maryland PE and doing it, you're violating a lot more than the FSA.
You won't be Maryland PE much longer.
Yeah.
That's true.
But that is a good point about a federal project or something. It certainly can. It's any seal.
But then the FSM doesn't apply.
It's true. That's true.
All right, Jason says we can do it. It's not a big thing to advertise. It's a minor thing.
There is going through and clarifying.
That means I get to get to the whole thing.
Yeah, it might be somewhere else. Has nothing to do with steep slopes.
That's not right. It doesn't do steep slopes around picking.
It doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
Let's not change.
Let's not change.
Just leave it in there.
What do the other jurisdictions say? What's Fairfax say? They got Virginia in front of it all the time.
I don't think that.
I think that's probably old language that we didn't change when we redid Chapter 6. It's not necessary.
Or surveyor.
Oh,
8100.
Okay, 8100.
Or surveyor.
I think I am making that change at least in Chapter 8.
It's a shame we don't have a definition section. We can't just say, we're going to say, we're going to be here and say, I'm going to be here.
That would be the
lesson. If you're
going
to change that then, maybe you can cast it.
Let me ask. This thing in the top of page 2, it says, surveyor, new design for systems that convey drainage on the surface. Does that mean floodplain, or does that just mean swales and ditches? I mean, the references at the last part of that have nothing to do with floodplain.
Hydrology is hydrology, whether it's a floodplain or a swale count, right?
We had talked about this with the last floodplain minutes and said a surveyor could do it.
Oh, it does say or surveyor? Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. Construction plans, professional engineer, surveyor. Site plans, professional engineer, surveyor. Record drawings. Oh, it does say surveyor. I missed that.
Usually done by the surveyor.
Bond estimates, professional engineer or surveyor?
They don't have to be
they're not
certified
signed.
Anymore.
They're not signed at all.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to change anything.
Right. I'm just making sure that I think we're mostly covered.
Yeah.
I don't think we're in contradiction to the new one. I just, we're just making sure. Under H,
typo in 3 anyway, in accordance with this C.
In accordance with this C.
Chapter. It's supposed to be chapter. You have to advertise.
Oh, we have to advertise.
You have to advertise that.
Yeah, if they could do them, they should be certified.
So all these professional engineers, surveyors, the license, the collision, the surveyor, surveyors, just not in the soil survey.
The only one we're changing as far as this one. The only one is this one now.
Mm-hmm. When you're making them all together, it's consistent.
Right. This is like the one that adds right. Surveyor.
Or looking
at E4. Okay, so we're adding surveyor. And then we're back to the beginning.
Okay.
So we only have one. I really have crafted, and I need to reform that. That's not the question. That's not the question we're answering. Right? We were only trying to. We were looking forward to the surveyor, not commercial engineer. The better was presenting the surveyor, right?
Right.
Okay, thank you for doing that. So now we are back to FSM procedures. Well, the Doc Bill was kind enough to look at the procedures and come up with some proposed edits. And
is this just an annual thing you do?
No, the board required it. We're supervisors.
Is that for every committee?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll go through it. The first just made it, went from 4 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And we're only supposed to meet once a month, guys, so we're done this month.
Are we doing that?
But instead, we're going to have additional meetings. We're almost there.
And the rest of the year off?
And remember, my term as chairman ends at the end of this year.
Don't you understand? Yes, sir.
That was the deal we've all made.
Yeah. Was that on the record?
Somewhere. It is now.
What do you want to see on the screen?
Why are we here?
Is this reference number one?
I asked
number two.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, number two. The PRC is going to remain constituted as stated in this section.
Okay.
Is that the whole thing?
At least half. So that would be four. No, of the appointed. So if we have.
Say if you only have seven.
If you only had seven, you would. Because three wouldn't be half. And that's why
I put. We
just said quorum is at least half the appointed numbers. Yeah.
That was the second change.
Because the that was direction we got. We had to define what quorum. Now it does still say in here that we can meet with four members. But the final agreement is only when we have a quorum. Okay, then.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to want to say you have that form for what we would find.
I'll ask our in-house attorney, are we okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So if this committee is at least seven members, there's no... The committee's never full. Correct?
We try for 12. We don't advertise until we drop under 12. That's been our typical operating membership.
Okay, but it says, in addition to public notification and request for citizen participation on the review committee, nominations shall be requested from. So does the board send out a letter every year that says, we're requesting nominations from the public to sit on the FSM committee?
They advertise.
They advertise it.
Annually. It's advertised.
And there's an opening.
There's always an opening.
At least seven.
This is where I'm going.
Yeah.
It's not how we do. I mean, I've talked to administration. It only goes out in the board's packet that there are openings. It is only advertised for openings when we get less than 12. So we have 12 members right now. So they're actively advertising for this committee.
It doesn't. There's no open positions showing up. On the monthly report.
That's not what that says.
I know, it doesn't. Now that I read it, you're right.
Well, we can put a maximum.
Are we allowed to make a change to 1.200 or no?
Yeah. We can change the rules.
Because if you don't have a maximum, then you always have
to do it. Well, no, I have a different issue, actually.
I thought where you were going, does the county send a letter to all these groups and ask for somebody?
Yeah, that's not where I'm going either. Where I'm going is we hear flack that all these committees are builder and developer driven, and we have conflicts and we shouldn't be on them, right? And there's no citizens on these committees. Well, okay, board, you want us to look at this? I want to make it the board's responsibility to send out a notice once a year to request citizen participation on this committee and define in there that the board can appoint up to four citizens.
Really?
Yes, I do.
There's
because I'm tired of hearing this crap about you guys dominate all the committees, the public never gets to speak, and everything we do is tainted because people don't know us and they don't listen to it and they just complain. I want to be able to point to something and go, no, the board sends out an ad once a year. Did you apply? Oh, you didn't? Then shut up.
Well, I can tell you we did at the change of the board that went out. Because everybody had to reapply.
Mm-hmm.
So there are openings on the following committees and that did go out.
I mean, I don't know what the reason is why the board asked every committee to look at this, but certainly again, there's been items in the press lately about Zork and FSM hasn't gotten hit yet, Complan Committee, about how these committees are, the citizens don't get to participate in them. So, again, you guys can overrule me, I'm fine, I'll just have my moment. I'll have my moment. No, but we were asked to look at this. Okay?
We were asked to look at specific issues.
Well, what was the direction? Every committee was asked to fill the blank.
Okay, let me do that. So we talked about this last meeting.
There's a memo.
We talked about the last meeting, and the direction was that you had to make sure you define quorum and attendance in your bylaws.
Okay.
And we decided last meeting we do, so we didn't have to amend this.
Okay. That was the only thing they asked us?
That's all they wanted.
Then I'll back.
And non-attendance issue. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, I'm totally.
And so we said weird, but then we agreed that Bill would take a look at it, and we would look at it just voluntarily.
Okay.
So it's time to revisit. So this isn't mandatory.
But focused on, I think Bill was focused on the attendance issue. We had a pretty tight, real stringent criteria in this for meeting your app.
Well, then let's change that to 8. Let's double that.
Well, let me show you what I did. Let me show you what I did.
Okay. No, I read it.
Oh, I just put May.
I read it, because I can tell you I'm going to miss more than 4 meetings.
Yeah.
In 1 year. I'm going to. I mean.
But they did before.
Yeah, 4/12.
Yeah.
PUC's in there.
Right.
Michael. I see a news release the county sends out, I think it's probably every month, listing all the boards that have vacancies,
right.
Because we have so many boards.
Right, no, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
And I don't lately remember seeing the PRC listed as having vacancies.
No, it has not been.
Because we don't.
So,
it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean.
We go by 12. Okay. We have an unofficial rule.
We don't, but if I read the rules and said a minimum of 7, it doesn't say a maximum of anything. There's always openings.
Yeah.
Right. But is that, so is that to your point that
it's so my point that I want to participate.
We're not advertising the PRC,
yeah.
And it says we're full and we're full of engineers and developers.
Right.
We're the
yeah. And to Jason's point too, I mean people are applying and people are applying in the groups that we're supposed to pick from that are getting denied.
Just like getting
appointed. That's
denial. As a staff employee, it's my duty to say they're just not getting appointed.
I want if the memo was narrowed, then I'll back off my soapbox. Okay.
It was, but if we see something that's not right, we should talk about it.
I mean, I appreciate your reaction, but
I don't want to. That's why.
I appreciate
I've
your
heard
reaction.
Exactly
100%.
What you said. I've heard all those criticisms too. You send a lot more committees than I do, but I hear it and read about it too.
Right.
And I see where you're coming from, but I don't want a normal person who doesn't understand how this process
and I,
works.
And I appreciate that, but I want to be able to say to the normal person, if you want to get here, you can get here.
You can get here.
Right.
No, I understand that.
Because yeah, they're not coming here.
Well, they're not coming.
They're not or they're coming here for a meeting and they're going,
what did I ask for? I ask myself that every week.
Oh, we have had non-professional citizens on this committee before.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Cliff Pierce was on it for.
Yeah.
And they all contributed.
From their perspective?
Yeah.
I mean, I personally think it's wrong that PEC applied to be on this committee and they weren't appointed.
But it's not our committee.
But that wasn't this past. That wasn't this past board.
As a board.
I understand. I understand.
And that was not this past board. That was two.
I understand that too.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm off my soapbox.
So we're going back to the
changes that... I think you want to explain why you didn't make it 8. I want to hear your explanation,
okay.
Chris.
What?
I'm saying I've already missed 2. I know I'm going to miss at least 2 or 3 more for vacations or days off. I'll probably miss another 1 or 2 from a conflict with my real job. So that puts me right there at 7. You know, so I know I'm going to miss more than 4.
Yeah,
than
fatigue factor.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Okay.
Should we change this to just share? Well, I share just set my box.
Yeah.
Would you like to change this to share?
What I did here is instead of making a mandatory getting
kicked
fired
off.
From the committee, getting
yeah.
kicked off, it's elective and it's based on the best interests of the PRC. So if someone's not here and it doesn't affect the PRC.
And you got a quorum. I mean,
yeah,
does it really
exactly.
matter?
If we start to get in a position where we can't create a
quorum,
I think then we've got to do something.
Yeah.
Right.
And this allows us to do that.
Well, the only tinkering that I thought, and I don't know how to phrase it, is since we are meeting twice a month, and this was set up before out of 12.
Right. That's 33%.
4 out of 24.
Right.
So. If you miss 4 or more monthly regular meetings.
Well,
what I'm trying to say is, if you meet 6 times in a month,
Yeah, and there are times we've done that.
Yeah, it shouldn't just keep.
Well,
unless you define regular meetings as Monday.
Our regular meetings are once a month, according to the way it's defined. Third or one.
Our second meeting is not a regular meeting.
So then you can miss a meeting every month?
You're
saying
regular.
Yeah. No, you can meet four of those, is what this would say.
The PRC regularly meets the third Wednesday of each month.
No, I wouldn't say that either. That's why I put an absolute number on it.
So if everybody's agreeing to that, that's great. And we all remember that.
Agrees to what?
The regular meeting is once a month on the third Wednesday. So you get four out of those 12.
We all get a mulligan each month.
But the other one is not a regular meeting that we are currently doing.
Yeah, I mean, that also
when we meet on the first of the month, first Wednesday, that's not a regular meeting.
That's extra credit.
Why are we meeting twice a month? What's the rush?
I brought that up. Do we need to meet in 2 weeks?
Well, we got some staff initiatives we'd like to get adopted.
Yeah, I mean, if we're sitting here at the end of this meeting, and we don't have anything critical, we don't need to meet. What we also find our momentum, what momentum we carry from one meeting to the next gets even worse if it's once a month.
And we redo them. Yeah, we're like, and then you vote people out, it's even worse.
Okay. Any suggestions or edits?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think this is good.
It's a regular meeting. We can define what a regular meeting is.
Or, well, I think that, what,
can you say four consecutive meetings? Or, that help?
Yeah.
Well, it just makes sense that if we're meeting twice of when this was written, it should be twice the number.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking if this it was.
Why don't you just make it four or more during any 6 month period? And you do the same thing.
That's good.
Or you could make it eight and take out the word regular.
Yeah, eight and take out the word regular.
How's that?
Yeah.
Which is the third, 8 of 24? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
The third.
Well, that's what it is now. And you could just say that, missing a third of regular meetings
or schedules. Like, man, we're overcomplicating.
Yeah, I think it's worded fine.
I would read that and go, oh my God, they can miss 8 meetings.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to put 8.
Let's do 4 in 12 months, or 4 in 6 months. And you've done the same thing, and then it sounds like it has some teeth.
So I miss 4 or more regular meetings during any 6-month period?
Or you could just leave, I mean, if it's,
just take out the
word. Well, that doesn't sound very good either.
Since we got the text in here that's in the script.
The committee reading this is going to see, well, they're not going to look at the calendar probably. They're going to look at public meetings once. We'll say, if we have a regular meeting once a month, then they're going to read this and say, you can miss 8 of those in a 12-month period.
My thought is, since we have the discretion of the chair and the vice chair, what's wrong with leaving it the way it is?
Yeah, I like the way it is.
Yeah, okay. Keep it
With the change to May.
Yeah, and with the May.
With the May. Yeah, changing it to May, and then the discretion.
Text on the screen.
We're not doing the four, it only comes out the second Wednesday. It can just be 4 meetings. Can we take out regular?
No,
because
you have to define what regular is if you leave that in there.
I'm just going to say, so my attendance, I don't need to take attendance except for the second Wednesday. That's all you want to know is if they
know. No, but you have to know who's at, you should know who's at all the meetings. But this is only has to do with, you know, kicking someone off the committee.
So if you miss 4 of the second Wednesday, that's the only time that you can know.
I think you're focusing too much on the second Wednesday part.
Well,
I know.
This is a regular meeting.
Right. So any other meeting is an extra meeting. You shouldn't be penalized for missing extra.
What it's saying.
We're being over ambitious.
It's not saying that, or I mean, I view this as a guideline. I've said this before. Regular attendance is expected. May be asked to resign, should determine in the best interest of BRC to replace a member due to inactivity. Doesn't define that as inactivity.
We've done this once.
Yeah.
You and I did this.
Yeah.
So you can
off?
Get kicked off?
Oh, yeah.
Back to Mike's comment, though. Say we had a member that, I mean, the committee's functioning, we get 10 out of 12 people here routinely, but we got 2 people that never show up. The committee is functioning with the 10 people that show up. should the board member that has appointed those two non-functioning people be made aware of that?
That has happened in the past.
What you're saying, we
didn't go to the board member, but we've had people that don't show up. We approached them.
We approached this clause and asked them if they intended to continue to participate or resign. They elected to resign.
I don't know that we're monitoring that, but it seems to me that
I am now, as of the beginning of this year, I'm doing attendance. Well, that's the expectation. The
board has also said that. Is that how else do you monitor attendance? Okay, I think what you're hearing, we're okay with this?
Yes, one thing about the regular meeting is that it's the third Wednesday of the month, I think is what the first paragraph says. The meeting twice a month, automatically that Wednesday before Thanksgiving is probably the third Wednesday. That's going to be canceled, so that's one that everybody misses.
Does a
canceled meeting
count
as a missed meeting?
No.
Okay.
We're all in the hole.
We're all in the hole.
We're on holidays.
All right.
When's the 4th of July?
We still get paid for that.
Yeah. You get our stipend.
How does it work for weather?
The weather is if school's canceled, this meeting's canceled.
So that's either in the morning or if they shut down early.
Correct. It's cloudy.
So it's supposed to snow.
Okay. There was no 2-hour delay for wind the other day here, at least.
Well, they either cancel in the morning or they close early. Sure. If they start late, we still meet. There's only three things can happen, right?
I thought we also went by, even if the schools wasn't closed, if the board
Does the Planning Commission meet on Wednesdays?
Oh, well, they can.
The schools could be open and the weather could be just fine, and the blizzard comes at 5 p.m.
They can cancel evening.
They can cancel.
They can cancel evening activities.
It's not just the schools. In reality, it's not.
But we don't have to put that.
Yeah, but when have the schools been more conservative than the board?
The board shuts down government.
Right. Yeah.
Government shut down. No.
Well, we
nobody
can be
meets.
Here, but they'll cancel their night yes. And then I have to cancel.
It's not going to snow this year anyway, so it doesn't really snow.
Number one. Okay. There have been times when.
But isn't the whole purpose of this clause here? It's just to give this some teeth for the committee on committees. If somebody's at 4 or it's 3 and they miss a meeting because we got a foot of snow, but 4 people showed up anyway, I don't think it's the intent of the board to kick that person off the committee. So, I mean,
well, it's a May.
It's a May, so it's I don't know.
It wasn't a memo. Did you take this from the memo?
I didn't take May from the memo, but I took off the last sentence from the memo. They had consecutive, but this is only a guidance.
This was, yeah.
This was not a requirement.
An example.
Right.
I changed that to May.
That's actually in there. That's in number one.
I've done it in writing.
Number one is the PRC members shall come to chair and secretary in advance if they'll be absent.
I think any board member that says a committee is the most boring committee that exists, you should be able to miss as many as you want. It's not a big deal.
Did they say that?
Suzanne, yeah.
What would
wonky,
wonky something? There were two adjectives. She had two adjectives.
I think she specifically said wonky.
Yeah, she did. Okay,
we're done. So I can go ahead and post things out. You revise your handbook. You want to put a revision date on there or something?
Yeah.
I move the acceptance of these changes.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
So we made a, we actually voted on something.
We follow these.
How many can live with it?
Yeah, how many can live with it? Okay, the last thing, double bonding technical memorandum, is that in here?
Yep. No.
Yeah, there it is. And this was decades in the making.
This, I was confused, this is dated in September, this is already policy, are we saying, are we revising the FSM now for this?
Do we need to? That was the question. Do we need to revise FSM?
I thought we determined last year we didn't have to.
That's what I thought. So I don't remember.
I think that's what we thought.
This was for information only, I think.
Well, we never really looked at it. And I think that the question is,
the FSN does not address VDOT bonding. Nor do we. As I recall that. There's a something that says, do we want to reference it in the FSM without putting it in? You know, just say for bonding with VDOT right away and Loudoun County refer to this. I don't think we usually do not do that.
Refer to technical memos, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're all
technical memos. You,
we don't do that with any other technical. Okay, so I think we can take this off the agenda.
Yep.
So
now county bonding process has to change.
No,
right.
This is working. We all don't need that.
Right. Right. Okay, so. So our next meeting, March 1st, will be the trees and hopefully floodplain on the agenda. And then you're going to check with Mike if there's anything having to do with the fire marshal. Even if it's just them coming and presenting and not doing anything, that might be worth it.
What's the floodplain issue?
Determine what has been studied and what hasn't been studied for purposes of using the floodplain as the floodplain of reference?
Is it just more of an informational meeting? Or
because what we're finding in practice is not what we thought we were hearing.
What are you finding in practice?
That we're being asked to do floodplain studies on major floodplains.
Things that we thought were already mapped.
Yeah, they were already mapped and adopted.
How can you map it without studying it?
Yeah.
And I said, well, they did modeling in some areas, and I'm just studying.
This is occurring in the east.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And this is major floodplain. This is the FEMA floodplain. I can understand it for the minor floodplain.
Yeah.
But the consultant did not do studies of all the floodplain
details.
Yes, they ran a model of the floodplain.
And I'm not sure what that means.
That's the big question.
Are there particular developments that this is hitting harder than others?
Well, it shouldn't hit any from our perspective.
Yeah, it shouldn't hit any.
Well, I mean, it's kind of based on what I've understood too. I mean, I thought even if he's doing a model, I thought it was all based on data that he took from studies that were right.
Wow, I'm kind of green. Jeez.
That's what I thought. If you weren't touching it, approach funding.
Yeah, shall we?
Well, we can still do that based on the floodplain study provisions that this committee, with the bill came to put in and exempt. If you have adequate horizontal or vertical separation from floodplain, you know, if you can hear it, then floodplain administrators can determine you don't need to do a study. But if you're going into it encroaching, they're going to require you to do a detailed study because they don't have one.
If you're encroaching into a
If
you have to change it, or
want to change it, or you have to do a study.
Or to prove that you're not changing it.
That's the problem.
We don't know where it is what the comment has been.
And we
until you study it.
We thought you would have known where it is since the county was just the
So this is pretty good. The county got a grant, they studied this, they got whacked to change all the ordinances because we weren't in conformance with the ordinances. We have a floodplain line that now we have to study and say it's right.
Yeah.
Wow. How'd that deal?
And the lines got, the areas got bigger.
And the areas got bigger. For some reason.
Now
prove to us that they shouldn't be bigger.
Yeah.
No. Prove to us they where they should be.
Now, is this a problem, though, that you guys are actually getting on like comments on class, or is this a problem that you talked about in your builder's meeting?
Yeah, no.
We didn't make this up.
Yeah.
Sit around the bar and.
You need to come to one of our builder meetings. We don't even talk about things like this.
No, we're not making this up.
You're a developer.
Yeah. I mean, we get comments. Well, we never studied that. We studied it. It's Goose Creek.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How can you never have studied Goose Creek?
You know, the trouble is, I mean, not, and I'm not picking on Bill at all. The trouble is we're past the point of no return.
Yeah.
What is he going to go? Oh, sorry. Sorry, you're right. That's what we told you. But you know what? You need to study it.
Well, and if that's the case, we need to know what did they study, what they did not study. So everybody knows
that. You guys remember us going to CFR where it talks about 5 lots or 50 acres, federal regulation. You need to do a study and you're involving five acres or 50 lots. It says a study. It doesn't say match floodplain. That's my best attempt at junior floodplain person, but I remember doing that as a group. We looked at that. And we're asking the wrong question.
The question isn't tell me what you didn't map. The question is tell us why you changed your mind. Because we have people here sitting in this room going, yes, we thought this is what the rules were. And now somebody's saying, no, those aren't the rules. So it's not about what didn't you map and we have to map it. It's about when did you change your mind and when did you tell us you changed your mind?
I can tell you there's no contract that could do a detailed study of the entire county for a million.
Then it shouldn't have been represented that way.
Shouldn't have been.
I mean,
that's the problem. I mean, we sat right here.
Mars.
Before Baker even did the work, they sat in this room with the previous.
Right.
And we asked that question, are you mapping the detailed studies of all the major floodplain in the county? And the answer was yes.
Yes, that's what they said.
And then we stumbled across a lot of the west wasn't done, any of the west was done. We stumbled across or some of the east wasn't done.
And remember, I guarantee if you go back and listen to those tapes, the biggest concern we had was the map and what the map was going to do to us. We were always very concerned about that. And it basically, we're where we didn't ever want to be.
So, what are we going to talk about this next meeting?
So I guess you're going to invite Bill Kane.
Yes. I don't really know. I just have bits and pieces from our past discussion.
And if he wants to know more about it, have him call me up.
I wrote down a lot.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about specific projects. We're talking about this is happening. And it's not. Has it happened to others?
It hasn't happened to me, but it's happened to others in my shop.
Okay.
Well, we owe you information too. You all had asked about reforestation, and I owe you the director's letter and response back in November at the last quarter.
Oh, yeah. How do you plant trees in a floodplain?
You had asked for information, and I need to get.
How do the Boy Scouts plant trees?
Well, only if you're a Boy Scout.
To get your bag.
I haven't forgotten about it. I just need to.
Well, from my standpoint, Mike talked about the fire marshal. He's actually a one, even though it's, it says a three. Then the floodplains and then the trees.
Exactly.
Now, it might be not going to get to our next meeting because we want it. So I understand that. But I'd rather not, we're not trying to take that down.
Because that's influencing people getting off bond. That's critical. Okay. Cool. Anything else?
Nope.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
So should we ask that Bill also bring President Trump's proposal on what flood plan?